Now today we've been learning from the young people about how God began preparing for the first Christmas a long time in advance. Christmas, the first Christmas for us today, it was 2,000 years ago. But God began preparing for the first Christmas 2,000 years plus before that. That was a long time before anyone had thought of or imagined or invented things like televisions, refrigerators, smartphones, Nintendos. Some of us, we struggle with counting down 25 days on the Advent calendar, counting down to Christmas. But the people who lived in Bible times, they weren't just waiting days or weeks or months or years or decades or even just centuries. Some of them were waiting for millennia. Now, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that big word, the Pentateuch, it tells us the story, the history of the people of Israel over their first 500 years. But where the story left off, where the C4K team left us off, it's a cliffhanger. They're still 1,500 years away from the coming of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Put it another way, they're only a quarter of the way there. This would be like at Christmas Day, you get to enjoy your soup starter course, but that's it. You don't get your roast potatoes and turkey. You don't get your dessert. You don't get your crackers and cheese and tea and coffee. You miss out on the best bits. But that's where the Pentateuch leaves us off. And maybe then that leads to a question. Why is it that it took so long? Why did God wait over 2,000 years before sending the Savior of the world? What was taking him so long? This is a question I've been wondering about since I was some of your ages. I want to share with you, just for the next few minutes, two answers that I have found to that question. First answer is that God was getting the world ready. I think it's very easy for us to take for granted the fact that only in our grandparents' generation, and some of you who are grandparents, only in your generation was it possible to get on a plane and fly anywhere in the world. It was only in my adult generation that it was possible to go onto a computer or to a phone and talk to people and see their faces anywhere around the world. For most of human history, it's not been that way. For most of human history, people have been scattered around the world, speaking different languages. They've probably never traveled that much further away from their homes. They didn't have television, they didn't have radios, they didn't have the internet. They couldn't even send postcards by snail mail. People were separated, isolated. And so if God was going to step down into this world and become one of us and do things to save us, how would the world find out? How would they ever know? And that's part of the reason why God waited. He was getting the world ready. If you like, he was setting the stage for the coming of Jesus. And behind the scenes of world history, God was working to raise up mighty empires and change the world to make the world ready so the news of Jesus to spread when he came. It started with the Persians. The Persians, they used the Silk Roads through the desert and they opened up trade between the east and the west. They had a trading language, Aramaic. Everyone could talk and communicate with each other as they bought and sold things. Then came the Greeks. Greeks were very wise. They loved learning and studying and thinking about things. And throughout their vast empire, they spread the Greek language so everyone spoke the same language. And they shared the same stories and culture and ideas. Then along came the Romans. The Romans were powerful, strong, mighty warriors. And they forged peace across the world. And they also built roads everywhere they went. Straight roads. None of our crazy bendy roads, straight roads. And so by the time the Romans were here, it was possible for you to walk from one end of the world to the other and communicate to people all along the way in the same language, safely. And that's when Jesus came. God sent his son at that time into the world. So that then, once he had finished his great work, dying for our sins on the cross, rising again from the dead, that news could then spread out all the way around the world. And ever since then, Christians have gone around the world taking that good news to people who have not heard. People like the ones that we saw on the video in Papua New Guinea who are hearing the news about Jesus for the first time. And so that's one reason why God waited so long. He was getting the world ready. Well, there's a second reason. Second reason is that God was getting people ready. Now, I'm sure that none of you were like this, but when I was a child, there were times whenever my mom and dad had to let me do things that I wanted to do that they knew were not going to work out. They knew that I would fail. They knew it would all end in tears. But I was so convinced that I was right, that my way was the best way. I wasn't listening to them. And so sometimes they had to say, okay, you try that. You do that, David, and see what happens. And what happened? It ended in tears. Because sometimes the only way to learn is the hard way. Have you heard that? Sometimes the only way to learn is the hard way. I think that's also part of what God was doing in waiting so long. God needed us to learn that we needed a Savior. Someone who could save us from the sin in our hearts. But he had to convince us that we needed to be saved from ourselves. And that we couldn't fix ourselves. And we couldn't fix the world and all of its brokenness and all of its problems. That we needed God to come and do that for us. We had to learn the hard way. And so, over the centuries, God allowed some of the great civilizations, some of the wisest, best people to rise up and have a shot, have a go at doing it themselves. He allowed the Greeks, with all of their wisdom, all of their learning, he let them have a go to try and fix the world and solve all their problems. They made a good shot of it, but it didn't work. Then he allowed the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans to use their strength, their might, their science, their technology to try and solve all the problems of the world. It didn't work. He also then gave the people of Israel a chance to be very, very good. God gave them his law and said, keep my commandments, keep these rules and instructions and things will go well for you. But even Israel couldn't, even with God's law, couldn't be very, very good and solve all their problems. You see, the law of God is a bit like a thermometer. Anyone feeling a bit sick at the minute? Anyone feeling the cold? We've got one coming down with something in our house at the minute. Well, a thermometer, it tells you that you're sick. But it can't fix you. It has no medicine in it to make you better. And that's what the law of God is like as well. It shows us our sin, but it can't fix it. And so God allowed all of these different things to happen to show us that we are sick with sin and we can't fix it ourselves. We need a Savior to come. We need God to come himself and come and save us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why God waited. He realized that we needed to learn the hard way. That's why the Bible says, at the right time, God sent forth his son to be born of a woman, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters of God. So as we count down the remaining 10 days to Christmas on your Advent calendars, spur a thought for those who weren't waiting 10 days, weren't waiting 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years, 10 centuries, they were waiting longer, long, 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 long time. Spur a thought for them this Christmas as you count down on your Advent calendars. And be thankful that today we're no longer waiting. That God's greatest gift has already come in the person of Jesus Christ. And he will begin fixing the problems in our hearts and our lives. And he wants to begin putting right this world. That's our great hope when he returns again one day soon. And maybe this Christmas you're waiting for things in your life. Maybe there are things that you're waiting on God to do. There are promises that you are waiting for God to keep and fulfill. There are prayers that you're waiting for God to answer. We'll come back to that passage in Galatians. Trust that God's time is always the right time, even when it's not our time. Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you. Well done. We're going to sing one last carol. We're going to stand up and sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. So when the musicians are ready, let's stand and sing together.